Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to be here tonight and to open the Word. It is a privilege. So many good preachers in this church today, Pastor. It's a matter of take a number and get an opportunity, and that's a blessing, a real blessing. And it's great to have the opportunity tonight. Take your Bibles to the book of Romans. Pastor preached on the book of Romans this morning from chapter 3. I've skipped ahead to chapter 8. And it's verse 28, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, familiar passage. Romans 8, 28 reads, "And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." And the Apostle Paul is reminding the believers in Rome that God has a providential hand upon all things, regardless of current circumstances. It's written in a time of great trial and affliction, the nation ruled by an atheist government and people worshipping idols. And Paul is offering the believers wonderful assurance from this passage of Scripture. Let's pray and let's open the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity tonight to be here as a church family. Lord, we thank you for the week that we've had, the Holiday Bible Club, and the many blessings that have come from that. And I pray now, Lord, that as we open your book, I pray that you'll fill me with your Holy Spirit and I might be a blessing to our church family tonight. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, apart from my Bible, I don't read very many books. My wife, she has her bedside table stacked high with the books that she's reading. Mine, on the other hand, has a couple of books that I'll get to, but I haven't quite gotten to at the moment. Now, here's my excuse. At work, I'm required to read all the time, so my eyes are tired come night time. As I said, that's my excuse. However, when I picked up Pastor and Mrs. Hester's autobiography and started reading that, I just couldn't stop. And I had an opportunity this week, because I was using public transport to get from North Epping to Penrith, to finish the book. And it was a wonderful blessing to be able to do that and to have the time to do that. It's a wonderful book to read. It's going to be a treasure, I'm sure, if you haven't read it yet, to any Christian to read it. And as I sought the Lord as to what he would have me preach tonight, I felt impressed to just share a few things that I gained from having read that book. And now, I'm not going to spoil it for those of you who haven't read the book or you're halfway through, and it's certainly not my intention to share any of the private thoughts or the specific events that are detailed in the book. You'll have to read that for yourself. But rather, I want to take the Word of God and I want to apply some of the principles that I found through reading the book just to give us a few practical lessons as we go forward as Christians. Because in Pastor and Mrs. Hester, you had two wonderful godly people, a husband and wife missionary team who've lived the Christian life to the full. They've experienced the pain and suffering associated with life on a mission field. In a war-torn country, they've suffered illness, they've suffered church splits, backbiting, separation from loved ones. They've seen it all. And on the other side of the coin, they've also experienced the unbridled joy of living a victorious Christian life. And they've seen God work miracles and they've felt his guiding hand upon their lives. So why wouldn't we want to glean some of the insights that they've had from their lives so that we can use them and be encouraged in our own Christian walk? So tonight I just want to share with you what I've gained from this amazing autobiography. And don't worry, all the lessons will come from the Bible. They're verses that you can claim for yourselves. It's not man's wisdom. It's God in action. And I've entitled the message, How to Be Sure. So let's dig in and let's go to John chapter 3 and verse 3. We sang about this verse earlier tonight. John chapter 3 and verse 3. The first lesson that I learnt from reading through this book, it's called Casting Your Bread. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Be sure you're saved. That's lesson number one. Jesus told Nicodemus, the Jewish ruler, you must be born again if you are to enter the kingdom of God. And it may sound basic stuff, but you can't get past this. If you're not saved, the Bible clearly points out that there is a place for you when you die. It's called the lake of fire, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 14. I don't want anyone to go there, neither would you. You can't work your way out of there, and you can't avoid it by skirting the issue of salvation whilst you're on earth. God is a God of judgment. Now, I thank God for Abigail's courage in getting the issue of salvation settled. Now, many don't. There are teenagers raised in godly families trying to fly under the radar. The statistics from America are just amazing. The number of people who go through Christian schools, Christian Bible colleges, and they get to the end, they're still not saved. It's incredible. And I've heard of Bible college students hanging on in this issue of salvation until they graduate. I mean, how dangerous is that? Who has a guarantee of tomorrow? Certainly not us. I'm thankful that the Bible tells us how we can be sure that we're saved. Just simple steps of faith. One, admit you're a sinner. Two, realize there's a price on sin. Three, understand that Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins by dying on the cross for us, that he rose again bodily from the dead, and four, receiving Jesus Christ as our Saviour. God doesn't want us to be unsure about this issue. Jesus said, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John chapter 5, verse 24. What a Saviour we have. Be sure tonight that you're saved. Lesson number two, be sure of your doctrine. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 9. Colossians chapter 2, we read it this morning, Bible read. This morning, Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through to 9. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Know what you believe and why you believe it. Now that too sounds basic, but there are many winds of doctrine out there, even within fundamental independent Baptist churches. And you can be tricked if you're unsuspecting. How would you respond, for instance, to a well-organised JW? What about if you were cornered by a Mormon? How to respond to an atheist? What if somebody asked you, what does a Calvinist believe about soul winning? Why do we baptize by immersion? Know your stuff. If you're in discipleship right now, ask away. This is your opportunity. If you don't know the answers, then find out. Bible college students, learn all you can. It's a privilege to have a Bible-believing fundamental Bible college as a church ministry. So use it. You'll be grounded in the truth. Amen? And be ready to give an answer to anyone that asks. Lesson number three, be sure you are surrendered. There's a lot of Bible verses, but we're in a Bible-believing church. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's, and in your spirit, which are God's. Surrender is seemingly a hard lesson for most Christians, but it shouldn't be. You surrendered to God when you accepted him as your Saviour. You said, yes, Lord, I trust you and you alone to get me into heaven for all eternity. But you won't trust him to get you the money that you need to make ends meet, or to provide the good health that you need to keep on going. And you won't trust him that he can overcome your shortcomings and keep your kids turning out right. You won't trust him to build your career. And will get you through that Bible college course. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8 says, and God is able, we could stop right there. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Now you can look up that in the Greek and you'll find that all means all. That's it. So surrender tonight by faith. God's arm is not shortened that he cannot provide. Philippians 4 verse 9, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What are you afraid of? Is God a liar? Heaven forbid. So keep trusting. Lesson 4, doing well. Be sure you ask God. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Verses 22 to 24. I hope I'm not going too quickly for you. Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 24. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whatsoever shall say unto this mountain, or whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Did you get that? Pray, asking in faith. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God's in the business of answering prayers, all kinds of prayers, from salvation to a parking spot. Problem is, we're not asking. Prayer's all about asking. And you don't need to be flowery. Don't pray all around the world if you're asking for something specific. Just be specific and be honest. You know, ask him what you need and believe that he will deliver. God answers yes, no, or wait. The problem is we don't have a great deal of patience with the wait. So just keep on asking until you get an answer. God is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask. Amen. Lesson number 5, be sure God is in control. Galatians chapter 2, further over in the New Testament, Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. Be sure God is in control. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So many Christians run around in ever-decreasing circles these days, achieving some things in the flesh, but without the power of the Holy Spirit upon their lives. Now, many have tried to live their Christian life in the flesh, but it usually ends up in an epic fail. You can't serve God very long in the flesh. Do you remember when you taught your first life stages class or you first stood up to song lead? I do. Do you remember when you first started Bible college and you got all those books? I remember that very clearly. I had the biggest headache going home that night, trying to work it out in the flesh. How am I going to? No. And you thought, Lord, I can't do this. Why me, Lord? Couldn't you find someone else? You or this is not going to work. But now you're experienced and it doesn't seem as daunting anymore. I can do this. I've done this before. Are you still as dependent upon God? You know, it's important to keep going forward that you depend upon the Lord daily. God says in his Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor in spirit. God, I need your help. God, I need your help. That should be our cry every day. Now, Pastor knows he can't preach very long in the flesh. And Life Stages teacher, you should know that you can't teach that Life Stages class very long in the flesh. Student, you can't go very far in the flesh. Your flesh will get tired. And there's no promise in the Bible that says your flesh will sustain you. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The truth of the matter is that some of us are thinking, all right, I can do this. And that's when we get into trouble. Some of you are very talented, but you better not rely upon your talents or trust in your abilities and your own education, your charisma, but get up every morning and say, Lord, I can't do this unless you come in and take control. You know, it's not hard to spot people who are trying to live the Christian life in their own strength. The absence of peace is written all over their faces, and it's not a good witness. Relax. Colossians 3:15 is still in the Bible. God is on the throne. There's no need to panic. Nothing takes God by surprise. And there's no such thing as a coincidence in God's kingdom. John 14 and verse 1 reads, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. More trials means more grace. Amen. That one's actually in the book. That's a Pastor Hester gem of wisdom. Let God be God and you'll be amazed at what can be achieved. Lesson number 6. Be sure you love others. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Be sure you love others. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And if you don't know this, you probably need to go back to lesson number 1. We love others because Christ first loved us. 1 John 4 verse 10 says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to the propitiation for our sins. There's that word again. Remember, someone had to first extend the hand of love to you in order for you to be saved. They had to show you the love of Christ. That means they had to care about you even when you were a sinner. Now, parents, we laugh when we hear Dr. Gibbs preaching and he asks the question, how many here love your children? Raise your hand. We all raise our hands. Now, how many want to kill them every now and then, you know? And we all laugh about that. Be careful, because a lack of forgiveness or bitterness in your heart will lead you down a rocky path towards separation from loved ones and from church family. Very few people stay in the Christian life for long without a love for people. Very few families can survive in today's world without the love of Christ within their hearts. You might get by for a while, but then your flesh will rise up and it will disqualify you. Teacher, your life stages class is built on a love for people, regardless of their age, regardless of their standing in society, regardless of their colour. People need love, they need friendship, and they need companionship. And Sydney is a city in need. Just look around. Give yourselves to others. Now, I'm not saying that all are going to respond in a positive manner. The Hester's book is full of examples, both positive and negative. But in general, people will warm to you if you show them kindness. And what's more, they can tell when your love for them is only skin deep. So let's not be hypocritical about this. Church members, perhaps your love for God has gone a bit cold. Remember when you used to tithe and support missionaries and offer help around the church and be zealous for the things of God, but now you're just not seeing the blessings, just the bills, and you're backing off a little bit? Well, tonight is your chance to ask God to forgive you and to get back in the race. Lesson number 7, be sure that God can use anybody. Be sure that God can use anybody. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6, just over from Ephesians. And Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, God can use a donkey if he wants to, but he prefers to use people to accomplish his work here on earth. He knows our frame. He knows we're not perfect. 1 John chapter 1 verses 7 and 9 talks about, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. But I like this bit that says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you know that unbelief in this area can lead to severe consequences? Just think of what we won't accomplish if we fail to see that God can use anybody. The next time you feel that, like, God can't use you, just remember that Abraham was too old, that Isaac was a daydreamer, that Jacob was a liar, that Joseph was abused, that Moses had a stuttering problem, that Gideon was afraid, that Samson had long hair and was a womanizer, Rahab was a prostitute, Jeremiah and Timothy were too young, David committed adultery and was a murderer, Elijah was suicidal, Jonah ran from God, Naomi was a widow, Job went bankrupt, Peter denied Christ three times, the disciples fell asleep while praying, Martha worried about everything, the Samaritan woman was divorced more than once, Zacchaeus was too small, Paul was too religious, Timothy had an ulcer, and Lazarus was dead. Have faith. God wants to use you. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. You might say, well, I'm not called. As a wise old preacher once said, well, you could always volunteer. Amen. Lesson 8. Be sure God can use you where you are. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. Back a bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. God calls you where you are. That's Bible. And he can use you right where you are. If you're in the centre of his will and surrendered to him, look out, God will use you. You might be in the middle of an ungodly workplace and the only light there. God can use you to change the culture if you let him. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of salvation, a day of visitation, sorry. You say, Brother Wayne, you don't know my workplace. Well, that's true, but I've seen his hand at work in my life and others from this church, and I can tell you that you shouldn't sell God short in this area. You know, and if you're thinking, well, I don't know why God has me in this situation, surrender to his leading and asking to use you anyway. I mean, I would have loved to have been at Holiday Bible Club this week. I'd love to have been here. But I couldn't get time off work. So I prayed. I said, Lord, I want to be used where I am, where you have me this week. And he did. I had an opportunity to share my testimony with a new work colleague. I encouraged another believer to seek God's will for his life and to share the Bible with another. I mean, that's just, that was amazing for me. It was just, and I just thought, God is so good to do that. Lesson number 9. We're almost there. Be sure God's word will stand. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. The T's are all together towards the back. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. God's word has all the answers to live a victorious life. Are you seeking it daily? The Bible doesn't change. Man's opinion changes, but the word of God is still the word of God, and it still has the power to change lives. Praise God for young Eric's salvation this week and the decisions that were made over Easter. God is still in the business of saving souls, amen? Amen. Christian, remember when you couldn't wait to go out soul winning? Remember when you first got saved and you were telling family, friends, everybody about Christ? Tracts in your pockets, knocking on doors, trying to get people saved because you believed that God's word would do for others what it did for you. But maybe you aren't seeing any fruit lately. Maybe your family has rejected your message, and you're feeling that you're not really effective as a soul winner. Well, Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11, still in the Bible. And it says that God's word will not return void unto him. So if you're in the desert place concerning soul winning, now's the time to pick up those tracks. Good timing, brother, to have soul winning back on next weekend. Get back out there. I'm sure Brother James will be just happy to speak with you about how you can be on the soul winning team next Saturday. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Trust and obey his word. We've got a job to do here in Australia, and time is on the wing. Lesson number 10. This is the last lesson. I knew if I said at the start there were 10 lessons, some of you would go, ugh. But we've done very well. We're up to lesson number 10. Be sure God will guide you all the way home. Joshua chapter 23, in the Old Testament, Joshua chapter 23 and verse number 14. The book of Joshua follows Deuteronomy. Chapter 23 and verse 14. It says, "And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof." Not one thing that God promised has failed. We serve a mighty God, and this book is full of wonderful promises for us to claim. Just let him be your guide. All things work together for good. His grace is sufficient. None of us have arrived, but I'm encouraged that God is not done with us yet. Paul said, "I finished my course." He didn't say, "I finished everything." He just said he finished his course. He still had a little bit more to go. And that was his arrival in heaven. But he kept the faith. And finishing well should be one of our goals. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord." Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's a key statement for any Christian from the Bible. Why do many fail to finish the race in victory or quit before time? They take their eyes off Jesus. Simple as that. They lose the big picture amongst the detail. Every prophecy in the Bible has come true thus far. My Lord said, "I will come again." That's a certainty. You can be sure of that. Now, the account of the Hesters' lives ranks amongst one of the great missionary stories, and really it's still unfolding. In and through the work that's taking place there in Lebanon and also at Regent's Park. Only heaven will reveal the full extent. And all this is happening because a godly couple took the time to be sure about some things before they set out to serve God with their lives. 10 lessons on faith from people of the book. Number 1, be sure that you're saved. Number 2, be sure of your doctrine. Know what you believe and why. Be sure you are surrendered. Be sure you ask God. Be sure God is in control. Be sure you love others. Be sure that God can use anybody. Be sure that God can use you where you are. Be sure God's word will stand. And be sure God will guide you all the way home. His promises are sure. There are many more lessons in Pastor and Mrs. Hester's book. I've only scratched the surface tonight. That's what I got out of it. But it's a great story of surrendered lives. What story are you writing? What lessons are you teaching your children? You know, as I close tonight, can I ask, how sure are you about your faith? Non-believer, are you sure that you can escape the fires of hell? Believer, are you sure that you're surrendered? Does God truly have all of you? Teenager, let me ask you, do you have your own faith or are you hanging on to the faith of your parents? Tonight we need to make sure of some things. Some of us need to come to this altar and do business with God. Get sure. If you're here tonight and you're not 100% sure of a home in heaven, not based on what you've done but what Christ has done for you, then you need to come and get that settled. You're going to see a pastor or someone who can take you through the Bible before you leave tonight. And Christian, you need to come and you need to be sure that you're fully trusting God. Perhaps you're at a place of discouragement tonight because you're not seeing the fruit that others are reaping. Well, come and give that to God tonight. He understands. Let's pray, and I'll ask Pastor to come and close this service. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you.